Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar, and today we're Zichu Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Hey, the fourth parak, Yontif, and the final Daf of the Masechta. Masechta's Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on, number one, the Gemara Daf Lamed Dalet Am Beis discuss the Machlokas regarding whether Shilichat Tzibur can be Motzi individuals. The Chamim hold that individuals are Chayav to Daven, and only those who do not know how to Daven can have the Shilichat Tzibur be Motzi them. Rambam Gamliel holds that a Shliach Tzibur can be motzi everyone, even someone who can daven on his own. Rav Yochanan said that the Chamim eventually conceded with Rambam Gamliel, and Rav said they did not. The Gemara on this stuff clarifies that according to Rav Yochanan, the Tana, meaning the Chamim, that conceded from Gamliel's opinion concerning Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Yovel, that the Shliach Tzibur can be motzi everyone, is Rabbi Meir. The Gemara clarifies that the difference between the Musaf Tefillos on these days and all other tefillos of the year are Mishum Da'afshi Brachas, because the brachas are challenging to most people. Rashi explains that they contain 9 long brachas, including Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, and people can get confused because people are unfamiliar with them. Point of which Rabbi Elazar said, Lom Yasdo Adam Tefilaso Va'achakal Kispalo. A person should always organize his tefillos in his mind and then only daven. Rabbi Abba said the Rabbi Elazar statement makes sense regarding the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur and Yovel, and the other Yom Tovim. But regarding the weekday and Shabbos tefillos the entire year, it's not reasonable to require one review them in advance, since most people are familiar with these tefillos. When the Gemara asked if this is so, since Rabbi Yehuda would always arrange his tefillos and then only daven, even on a weekday, it answers that Rabbi Yehuda is different. Since he would daven only once every 30 days, kapakim dami, his regular tefillos were like those that are recited on special occasions. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda would review all of his learning every 30 days, and the Ritva clarifies that during these 30 days, he was so engaged in his chazara, he wouldn't get distracted at all. And one who learns on this madrig is not required to interrupt his learning for tefillah. And pointing with you, Rav Acha Bar Avir said in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida, when Gamliel would exempt afil am shebasados, even the people in the fields from davening, for he held that the shulik sibur is motzi them, even if they're not in shul. When the Gemara notes that this implies that it was unnecessary to state they exempted those who were present in shul, it asks how this could possibly be. The people in the field are forced to miss the tefillahs because of the work, where those that are present in shul are not forced to miss davening. This is similar to the din that those who stand behind the kohanim during Birchas Kohanim are not included in the bracha, whereas those in the fields who are unable to come are included in the bracha. When Ravin arrived in Bavel, he said in the name of Yochan Bar Idi, who said in the name of Shimon Chasida, that Rav Gamliel exempted only the people in the fields from tefillah based on the Shulik Tzibur's recitation, Mishum Danisi B'Molacha, because they're forced by their work to miss the davening of Al Be'ir Lo, but those who are in the city are not exempted by the Shulik Tzibur. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis discussed the Malchalokas regarding whether Shilich Tzibur can be motzi individuals. The Chamim hold that individuals are chayv to daven, and only those who do not know how to daven can have the Shilich Tzibur be motzi them. Rambam Gamliel holds that a Shilich Tzibur can be motzi everyone, even someone who can daven on his own. Rav Yochanan said that the Chamim eventually conceived with Rambam Gamliel, and Rav said they didn't. The Gemara in this stuff clarifies that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Tana, meaning the Chachamim, that conceded from Rambam Gamliel's opinion concerning Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Yovel, that the Shilich Tzibur can be motzi everyone, is Rabbi Meir. The Gemara clarifies that the difference between the Musaf tefillos on these days and all the other tefillos of the year are Mishum Da'avshi Brachas, because the brachas are challenging to most people. Rashi explains they contain 9 long brachas, including Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, and people can get confused because they're unfamiliar with them. Point of which Rabbi Elazar said, Lom Yazdir Adam Tefilaso, V'Achakal Kispalo. A person should always organize his tefillos in his mind and then only daven. Rabbi Abba said, Rabbi Elazar's statement makes sense regarding the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur and Yovel, and the other Yom Tovim. Regarding the weekday and Shabbos tefillos the entire year, it's not reasonable to require one review them in advance, since most people are familiar with these tefillos. When the Gemara asks if this is so, since Rabbi Yehuda would always arrange his tefillos and then only daven, even on a weekday, it answers that Rabbi Yehuda is different. Since he would daven only once every 30 days, kapakim daven, his regular tefillos were like those that are recited on special occasions. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda would review all of his learning every 30 days, and the Ritva clarifies that during those 3 days he was so engaged in his chazara, he wouldn't get distracted at all. So one who learns on this madrega is not required to interrupt his learning for tefillah. And point number 3, Rav Acha Bar Avir said in the name of Shimon Chasida, Rambam Gamliel would exempt afil am shebasados, even the people in the fields, from davening, for he held that the shulik tzibur is motzi them, even if they're not in shul. When the Gemara notes that this implies that it wasn't necessary to state that he exempted those who are present in shul, it asks how this could possibly be. The people in the field are forced to miss the tefillahs because of their work, whereas those that are present are not forced to miss davening. This is similar to the din that those who stand behind the Kohanim during Birkas Kohanim are not included in the bracha, whereas those in the fields who are unable to come are included in the bracha. Rather, when Ravin arrived in Bavli, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Bar Idi, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida, The Ben Gamliel exempted only the people in the fields from tefillah based on the Shulchan Aruch's recitation, Mishum Danisi B'Molacha, because they're forced by their work to miss the tefillah. Aval Be'ir Lo, but those who are in the city are not exempted by the Shulchan Aruch. All right, so now we get our Simur Daf Lamed Hey, and our standard Simon is a children's choir singing La La La. So here goes. The Rosh Hashanah children's choir, who are going to accompany the Shulchan Aruch on Rosh Hashanah when he exempted others from the complicated brachos, practice being the side of their tefillahs before davening, and had in mind the workers in the fields whose work forced them to miss the davening. Once again, it's a motion. The Rosh Hashanah children's choir, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Hey. La La La. The Rosh Hashanah children's choir, who are going to accompany the Shulchan Aruch on Rosh Hashanah when he exempted others from the complicated brachos, which reminds us that according to Yochanan, the Tana, meaning the Chachamim, that conceded from Gamliel's opinion concerning Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Yovel that the Shulchan Aruch can be motzi everyone is Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara clarifies that the difference between the Musaf tefillahs on these days and all the other tefillahs of the year are Mishum da Avshi brachos, because the brachos are challenging to most people because they're long and unfamiliar. So the children's choir who are going to accompany the Shulchan Aruch on Rosh Hashanah when he exempted others from the complicated brachos, practice being masada the tefillahs before davening, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, "Lom yastir adam tefillaso, barachu kach yispal." A person should always organize his tefillahs in his mind, and then only daven. This is in regard to tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur and Yovel, and the other Yom Tovim, but regarding the weekday and Shabbos tefillahs the entire year, it's not necessary since people are familiar with them. The Gemara explains the reason that Rabbi Yehuda would always organize his tefillahs in his mind before davening, even on a weekday, is that he would only daven once every 30 days when he completed his monthly review of learning. So the Rosh Hashanah children's choir are going to accompany the Shulchan Aruch on Rosh Hashanah when he exempted others from the complicated brachos, practice being the side of the tefillahs before davening, and had in mind the workers in the fields whose work forced them to miss the davening. Which reminds us, Rav Gamliel would only exempt the people in the fields from davening, for he held that the Shulchan Aruch is motzi them even if they're not in shul, because they're forced to miss the tefillahs due to work. So once again, the Rosh Hashanah children's choir who are going to accompany the Shulchan Aruch on Rosh Hashanah when he exempted others from the complicated brachos, practice being masada the tefillahs before davening, and had in mind the workers in the fields whose work forced him to miss the davening. Hadron Alach Yom Tev Eslichola Masechus Rosh Hashanah. Mazel Tov everyone for completing the 9th Masechta in this Daf Yomi Machzor, a grand total of 34 blot with 102 topics now organized in our minds with simanim for quick review and instant recall. On Daf Lamedal, we officially crossed the 25% of Shas milestone. And now with today's blot, we have 679 blot, a total of 2,037 topics covered. Chas de Hashem, we've been very blessed up until this point. May Kosh Baruch Hu continue to bench us with continuing Hatzlacha as we begin to learn Maseches Tainus and Be'ezras Hashem, learn through all of Shas together. To celebrate this great occasion, Barry and I want to invite you to the Grand Chizuk event taking place Sunday, November 21st in Passaic. I'm excited to share that the event has been generously sponsored and there is no charge to attend. So please register via the links provided in the emails or the WhatsApps. Please do that as soon as possible. If you have not received the link, please email info@zichru.com. We hope you'll be able to attend. We're looking forward to meeting you. It's been a long time coming. Now it's time for a four blot back chazar. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the simur Daf Lamed Aleph is the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge. That must be Daf Lamed Aleph. Law. The judge who sang the Shir Shalyom as he entered the courtroom, which reminds us we have a brisa that teaches why each Shir Shalyom was chosen. So the judge who sang the Shir Shalyom as he entered the courtroom suddenly stopped when he looked at the weather-beaten defendant who had survived 10 exiles all the way into the wilderness, which reminds us that we learned about the Esr Masaos, the 10 journeys that the Shekhinah took as it went to exile during the destruction of Bais Rishon, and correspondingly the Sanhedrin was exiled 10 exiles during the destruction of Bais Sheni. So the judge who sang the Shir Shalyom as he entered the courtroom suddenly stopped when he looked at the weather-beaten defendant who had survived 10 exiles all the way into the wilderness, only to be put on trial because he ascended the Duchen wearing sandals in violation of 1 of 9 Takanas. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai enacted 9 Takanas, the 8th one being Kohanim are not permitted to ascend the Duchen in their sandals for Birkas Kohanim. The Gemara in Sot explains that this was instituted because of the concern that people might sit down during Birkas Kohanim to tie a loose strap, and people might suspect him of refraining from reciting the bracha because of a psul in his yichus. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in a lab. That must be on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in a lab trying to program a Rosh Hashanah congruent's brain so that every memory would be accompanied with the thought of a king, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source for the brachas of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Regarding Malchus, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yudah said, The pasuk says, "Vahiyu zikaron lifnei elokechem," and they shall be a remembrance for you before your God. It is seemingly unnecessary to state afterwards, "Ani Hashem elokechem," I am Hashem your God. Why is the Torah stated, "Zebenav"? This creates the source for the following principle: for every place that the psukim of remembrance are stated, psukim of malchias should accompany them. So the mad scientist in the lab trying to program a Rosh Hashanah congruent's brain so that every memory should be accompanied with the thought of a king recited Tem Psukim into his ears, which reminds us we have a number of pshatim regarding what do the Tem Psukim of Malchus correspond to, either the Ten Hiluim in Psalm 150 or the Aseret Dibros or the Asar Mamaros that the world was created with. So the mad scientist in the lab trying to program a Rosh Hashanah congruent's brain so that every memory would be accompanied with the thought of a king recited Tem Psukim into his ears, but refrained from singing Hallel, given the seriousness of the day, which reminds us Hallel is not recited in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the Malkei Ashares, "Is it possible if the Malkei is sitting on the Kisei Din, and the Sefer Chaim and Sefer Mesim are open before him, that the Jews should recite song?" Daf Lamed Gimel, the Simur Daf Lamed Gimel, is a peg-leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate, that must mean we're in Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who grabbed the shofar away from his wife, which reminds us there's a machlokes whether a woman should be restrained from blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. This hinges on the broader machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, whether women have an option of performing a mitzvah in which they're not chayiv, which is brought down with regard to doing smicha on a carbon. So the peg-leg pirate who grabbed the shofar away from his wife heard what sounded like a moaning or whimpering sound coming from his mother-in-law's window, which reminds us the Mishnah states the shir of a trua is kesholos yavavos, and there's a machlokes based on the weeping of sister's mother whether a yavav is like a moaning sound, which would be three shavarim, or more like a series of short whimpers. So the peg-leg pirate who grabbed the shofar away from his wife heard what sounded like a moaning or whimpering sound coming from his mother-in-law's window, who sent back a note that he better get ready to hear similar Torah blasts from a shofar the entire seventh month. Which reminds us that the source that a shofar is used to sound the truas in Rosh Hashanah is one from the pasuk regarding blowing a shofar on the Yom Kippur of Yovel. The unnecessary words Bechodesh Hashvi come to teach that all the Torah blasts of the seventh month should be alike. On Rosh Hashanah, as on Yom Kippur and Yovel, the truas should be sounded with a shofar. Daf Lamed Dalet, so the Simur Daf Lamed Dalet is a ladder. So here goes. The Baal Tokei on the top of the ladder. Ladder? That must mean we're in Daf Lamed Dalet. The Baal Tokei on the top of the ladder, blowing Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, three times, which reminds us that we learned that we must blow the combination of Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, three times, once for the Brachas of Malchus, once for Zichronos, and once for Shofars. We learned it from the three references to Truas in the Psukim, once by Yom Kippur of Yovel, and twice by Rosh Hashanah, and then we apply a Gezer Shava of Shvi Shvi to learn that we blow three sets, which consist of nine blasts in all, Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, three times. So the Baal Tokei on the top of the ladder, blowing Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, three times, and the Baal Tokei is standing below him, blowing three shvarims and a trua between the tekiyos, which reminds us where Yabao instituted that we blow tekiyah shkosha shvarim trua tekiyah, because he had a suffix that perhaps the trua is made up of both a moaning and a sobbing sound. He therefore instituted doing a combination of both. When the Gemara suggests that one should also do the opposite and blow a tekiyah trua shkosha shvarim tekiyah, since a trua might be made up of sobbing and then a moaning sound, the Gemara answers that normally when trouble happens to someone, he first moans and then he sobs. So the Baal Tokei on the top of the ladder blowing Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah three times, and the Baal Tokei standing below him blowing three shvarms and a trua between the Tekiyos, saw a man running in the distance who was thrilled he made it just in time to hear them. Which reminds us that it was taught in a brisa, mitzvah betokin yosim in mevarchin. It's a greater mitzvah to be with those that blow shofar than with those who daven on Rosh Hashanah, which means that if a person lives near two cities, even if davening is a vadai, being that he'll be able to find 10 people to daven with, and the shofar blowing is a suffix, being that they might have already blown the shofar and have gone home, one should go to the city where he has a possibility of hearing the shofar rather than to the one where he will certainly hear the davening. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.